Thank you. Oh, lot, but I did have something to say. I'm thankful to be here tonight. You know, I have a lot going on this week with school. It hit us pretty hard as soon as we got started with it. One of my teachers assigned 400 pages to be read by September 1st, and I'm not a reader, so that causes a problem. But all that stress today, all I did all day was stay at my apartment and do schoolwork. It was my day off. And I come in here and I was thinking about all the stuff that I had going on and what I needed to do to get done by this weekend and all the tests that I have coming up this weekend. But we started about singing about lifting up the name of Jesus, and that's all I want to do tonight. The time that I have set aside to come to church, I don't want to think about anything else, but I want to lift up the name of the Lord. That was my focus. That second course really hit me. It just struck a chord with saying, lift up the name. We're here to magnify, to glorify, to praise and adore Him. We're setting aside a few hours of our week to praise our Lord. And I'm thankful that we've done that, that we've been taught to do that. And so tonight I just want to lift up the name. That's all I want to do with the time that the Lord's given me is lift up His name.
Last time I had seen her, she was, you know, she didn't have any hair, and she had sores all over, and she was really up, you know, and she wasn't discouraged or anything, and she was so encouraging, you know, when I went, but I knew that week was going to start a chemo that was going to be really hard on her, and so anyway, I called her, and she told me, she goes, Laura, I just know God's with me, and she said that to me so many times. And finally, I just said, well, Helen, how do you know that God's with you? What makes you so sure? You know, so sure. What, I mean, is it something you feel? I mean, what is it that made you feel that? She goes, after I had my surgery, she said, I read a report. And she said, when I read the report, they said when they took that mass out of me, they put it in a plastic bag. And the minute they put it in that plastic bag, she said it exploded. And she says, right then, God quickened in my mind that that could have happened inside of me, but he knew exactly what was going on with me and that he was with me every step of the way. She goes, I just had that just knowledge of what God had, you know, was telling me. She goes, and she says, I can tell you, Laura, I can tell it to somebody and they probably wasn't mean anything, but I know if I tell it to you, you know what I'm saying. And I got such excited. I was in the car driving home. I said, thank you, Lord. You know, and her and I just started praising the Lord. And she started, she just said, you know, she says, nobody can tell me any different that God isn't with me through this. She goes, I'm not saying that God didn't let this happen to me. She says, but I know that he's going to get me through it. And she says, and I'm trusting him every step of the way. That encouraged me so much just to hear her say that. And to hear somebody, you know, I've been praying for my sisters and my mom and my brother. And, you know, you pray for your family. But when you hear something happen to them that's that personal to them, it's so encouraging. And the Lord just, it just blessed me so much to know that the Lord has answered my prayers and that he cares about my family. And and I just was really encouraged by that, and I just love the Lord, and I appreciate being here.
I'm not getting any younger, and you know, the way that Sunday night service was, you can expend a lot of energy worshiping the Lord, and I usually don't leave here tired, but when I got home, I was tired, and I guess that's a good reason to use your energy is worshiping the Lord. And 2 days from now, I'm going to be 71 years old. I praise the Lord for letting me live this long. I thank you, Sister Lacey. I got a card from Sister Lacey today on behalf of her and her mother. And so thank you for your card, Sister Lacey. And, you know, I can't take the heat like I could used to when I was younger. I was mowing last Thursday, and it was hot and humid, and I took my second break for about 20 minutes, and I drank some water, and I went outside, and I could still feel I was affected by the heat, and I put the mower right behind the house so nobody would steal it while I was taking a break, and so I pulled on the mower to start it. And I don't think I blacked out. I think I just lost my balance. The next thing you know, the right side of my head was banging up against the brick wall. So my hip hurt me for a couple of days. So thank God I didn't break any bones. But, you know, Brother Smith is not that much younger, a few years younger than me. And he talks about the era that we grew up in, you know, how a man's word was just as good as gold or his handshake, and how ungodly men, if they would say anything, cuss in front of a woman, they would say, excuse me, ma'am. And so I remember when we didn't lock the doors at night when we went out of town. And so things began to change in the 60s. We had the Vietnam War and protests against the Vietnam War and the hippie movement. And Conway was just a little town back then of about 8,000 people, so... But even the hippies made it to the one-horse town of Conway. Of course, it's over 50,000 now. So it got to where you'd see somebody walking down the street with long hair, and you didn't know if it was a male or a female. They came up with a term. They called it a shim. He wasn't a him. He was a shim. So we went through the hippie movement and all that drugs, free love, and all that stuff. So it seems like ever since then, America has just... gradually gone down, but I had another birthday. It was either in August or September, 51 years ago, in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I got invited to a UPC church, and I didn't know a thing about Pentecost, and they started showing me that I needed to speak in tongues. Of course, they baptized me, they said, in the name of Jesus, but I realize now I wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus, but they... they were gathered around me and trying to pray me through, and I appreciated that. So one night, they prayed me through, and it wasn't just a sha-la-la, la-la-la. It was a genuine thing, because all of a sudden my tongue, I lost control of my tongue, and I just started speaking in tongues, and it's still vivid in my memory today. You know, I think when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of your tongue, you're no longer in control. There was a neuroscientist that studied this. He wanted to know what about the religious brain. So the frontal lobe is where it's the part of our brain that right behind the forehead that makes us feel like we're in control. So he said he did, you know, they can do these SPECT scans and all these different scans, and they can tell the blood activity in the brain and how much activity there is going on in the brain. So he did a SPECT scan when people were praying and when they were meditating, and the frontal lobe was turned on. But he got this woman speaking in tongues and laid her down in a machine where he could do a SPECT on her brain, and the frontal lobe, the activity was greatly diminished. So that just proves what we know, that when you're speaking in tongues, it's not you. It's God that's in control, Holy Ghost, and... So, we say we're the body of Christ, and I believe we are, but if we said that and we weren't, that would be blasphemy. The Revelation said the beast had names full of blasphemy, so I know of at least 5 Church of Christ in town in Conway, and my neighbors, they go to one of them, so they had a gospel meeting here a couple of weeks ago for Monday through Friday, and they had an article in the paper, an advertisement, pretty good size article, and it said, the Lord's Church, the one and only Church of Christ, and they said, we worship according to the pattern and authority of New Testament Scripture. And, you know, I thought, well, that's just blasphemy. If we had that kind of doctrine and we said we were the body, that would be blasphemy. So I'm just thankful, you know, there's the synthetic, there's authentic, there's synthetic leathers, authentic leather, synthetic religion, authentic religion. So I'm glad I'm in something authentic.
Give a report of the brother that had the stroke. His name is Greg Wood, and he is Brother Bobby Main's brother-in-law, which is a pastor in Lowell. And his family has been faithful for many, many years, and you've probably seen his daughter-in-law and son, maybe his wife here. Anyway, he went to the doctor a week ago on Thursday, and they sent him back home with flu-like symptoms. He was, I guess, nausea and not feeling well, so forth. And he went; it didn't get any better, so he went to the emergency room there in Springdale on Sunday, and they did a scan on him, and they found two blood clots, one in his shoulder and then one at the base of his skull. Or maybe, I guess, the base of his brain, because as they were discussing it, they realized they didn't have the equipment to actually do the surgery that seemed inevitable. And so they transported him from Springdale to UAMS in an ambulance. And as you can imagine, the turmoil and the worry and, you know, sorrow that the family is experiencing. He's 58 years old, by the way, so he's still a young man in my estimation. And anyway, they got him down here. His family got down here, and you know, what do you do but trust the Lord? You can't make things happen. You know, you can't. We're a hopeful people. There's no doubt about that. And we rejoice when we see, you know, the things that we hope for come to pass. But in a situation like that, you know, you're almost wishful. You just can't imagine that, you know, the trauma and the shock that you're in, you just can't imagine things could be as severe as they are. I know Brett has a saying that I appreciate. There's nothing worse than worrying about something. We, the more we worry about it, it seems like the worse it gets. And Brother Talley, God still is on the throne. Isn't it great, these little things that we get from one another, these little words of encouragement that help us, remind us of how great God is and how great this relationship. Convenient, really. I stand here with two microphones. It's amazing. We're saved by the word of our testimony. And so I wanted to tell you about Greg. He's still in the hospital. But they had the surgeons on standby, and he got in town late Sunday night, and they checked him in, ICU, UAMS. And they put the surgeons on standby. His family went and got a few hours of sleep, and they came back at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And they got to looking at it, and they decided not to do surgery. And they felt like that there's a slight possibility that these blood clots could be dissolved. And so he's been on blood thinners for the last 3 days, and this may mean something to some of y'all. Apparently the blood's starting to flow again up around his skull. There's actually swelling around the brain, I guess, which is an indication that there's blood flow occurring, and the nurses and the doctors were very optimistic in that. And he may be moving out of ICU tomorrow into a regular room. and the possibility of even going home. And so, you know, you just never know what God has in store, and it's hard to understand, you know, why would God let this happen? He could have just as easily been taken care of there in Springdale or Fayetteville. They've got fine medical facilities up there, but for some reason, God needed to, for some reason, his family has gone through this test, and I want to thank everyone, and I do mean everyone. We're an assembly. We're a church. We're helpers one of another, and it's fantastic that we have a facility such as we have where people can stay in a time of need or crisis. They've stayed in the church apartment, and they just appreciate, you know, the grace that the church has shown to them in their moment of need. And, of course, Sister Crow, I couldn't help but think about your testimony. And, you know, we just believe in God, don't we? We trust that God knows and understands, and they're trusting God in this situation. And I ask, you know, I'm sure that they would covet your continual prayers for Greg and for his family, and that the Lord's will would be worked in their life. But here we stand. We're in the midst of God's miracles working before us, and we're blessed to be a part of it. I just wanted to give you that testimony.
Didn't really have much to say, but I get tired of it being quiet sometimes, and just want to give a little bit rundown of my day. I just woke up this morning, had a meeting at 7 o'clock, and meetings at 7 o'clock are never good things. You know, it don't matter what kind of, we can talk about great things, but still a meeting at 7 o'clock. And you don't want to wake up, you think that, man, that alarm clock is early, I can just call in sick, and no big deal, I got lots of PTO built up. But I drug myself out of bed, got there, and just kind of, I don't want to be here. It was starting to become a weary Wednesday, and it was only 7 o'clock, and I just was not a happy camper. And then, you know, they kept talking about stuff I didn't really care about. I don't know, I wasn't really listening. And they just kept talking and kept talking. I was getting in a grumpy mood, sitting there eating my biscuit, and it's like, come on now. I'm ready. It's good to get to work now. And I kept listening, kept a two-hour meeting. And towards the end of that, I just kind of zoned out, and there's a little something perked up in my head. There's something down inside me that keeps telling me to go on. And for the rest of the day, man, I had a good day. Try singing that song and have a bad mood with it. There's something down inside of me that's telling me. No, that's just terrible. You can't sing that song. So there's something down inside of me that's telling me to go on. I mean, that's just a good song. And the rest of the day, I was hippity-hopping around like a little bunny rabbit going down the trail. And I was just a happy camper. Yeah, you visualized that, didn't you? But I just want to tell how thankful I am, you know, how God can take that moment, you know, and that's just something little. Just something little. But, you know, if he can look down on me and say, I'm going to make your day a little bit better by giving you that song, I'm thankful for that. I just want to give thanks, how thankful I am for him. Everything going on the way, he took time to look at me and say, you know what, I want to make your day a little bit better.
Yeah, that was a good visual, Zach. I can see you hippity-hopping around. But I know the feeling. It's good to sometimes, like Brother Painter said, have words that someone has spoken or a song that helps. And you can, like the Bible said, David encouraged himself in the Lord, you can encourage yourself. And I'm glad to know that. And something about when Brother Painter was talking and just the words tonight have brought this song to mind. It's an oldie. I don't think I've ever personally sung it, but I'm going to give it a shot. Just knowing that God can do, he can heal, he can step into physical situations, and I know, because he's done it for me. I know he can step into financial situations because he's done it for me. Just, I can tell you real quickly, just this week, believe it or not, I lost $200 cash. And I can't afford to lose $200 cash. Who can, you know? Maybe there might be a few people out there, but I'm not one of them. And I prayed. I needed that. And sure enough, I just stuck with it and kept praying. And he helped me think about where to look and find it. And I know that sounds simple, and a lot of people think that's coincidence. Yeah, but you can think what you want. I mean, God's helped me find littler things than that, and I know he did. And I appreciate knowing that he can. He can step into emotional situations, physical, financial, spirit. Yeah, he can. And I'm glad to know. And that, of course, I've sung that song, I Know a Man Who Can. But somehow, this one just has more of that little hippity hop to it, Brother Zach. I didn't want to do a slow one. I didn't feel slow about it. So I'm going to give it a shot. Who can speak to a crippled and they stand right up and walk? Who can cause the deaf and dumb to hear and start to talk? Who can calm a fevered brow by just saying, let it be? With just a little bit of clay, he touched him in a way the blinded eyes can't see. I'm telling you, he can. And I know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes crumbling in. For no one's ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. Lift up both of those dying hands with a tear running from his eye. With his loved ones gathered all around him, he can smile and say, no fear, for the one that brought me through the storm's gonna lead me on from here. I'm telling you, he can. And I know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Start to talk. And who can calm a fevered brow by just saying, let it be? With just a little bit of clay, he touched him in a way the blinded eyes can't see. I'm telling you, he can. I know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Oh, and there's no one has ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. Running from his eyes, with his loved ones gathered all around. I'm telling you, he can. I know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Oh, and no one has ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and rose to live again. Yes, I'm telling you, he can. I know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes.
Appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate our coming. I'm sorry for your circumstances. But as the song said, we know a man who can, and he can. Everything's in God's will. Everything's in God's plan. You have to believe that. I've always been of the mind that God's either God of it all or he's God of none of it all. That's just how I think about it. And to me, he's God of all of it. He's not just God of what I want him to be God of. He's God of everything. Otherwise, I put too many stipulations and limitations on him and can commute his power down to an earthly type of level and minimize his ability to help people and to help myself, of course. And at the end of that, I think that we minimize our faith by downplaying God's ability. So I do appreciate the Lord, appreciate the songs, and as the song service started today, tonight, a thought occurred to me. I kind of bounced an idea off Brother Phil, just for kicks. I kind of do that sometimes, just to see if he'll, it's kind of like fishing, see if I can get a bite. If we get a bite, and see what we can get drummed up. But I was thinking that as Sister Lynette was singing her songs, that the I was talking about lifting up the name of Jesus. And that is something that is we sing so much about, but I wonder if I really do it. And is there a proper way of doing it? How do you really lift up the name of Jesus? People say that he's, Revelation says that, I believe that, isn't that the Revelation 11? I was talking about two witnesses, says that they was saved by the blood, the word of their testimony. That they loved not their life unto the death. They were willing to give it up freely, willingly. So that their, I'm sorry, that's in Hebrews, isn't it? So that their testimony would carry them on over what the world or the religious segment would call the great divide, would carry them on through to everlasting life. But there are several instances in the Bible where the name of Jesus had to be lifted up, and there was a type and a shadow that was given. If you look back into Numbers, I believe it is, I think it's Numbers 21, isn't it? Says that people had sinned. They came to Moses wanting to know how they could get over their sin. And so the Lord put it in Moses' mind that if he had put a brazen serpent up on a pole, stick it up for the people to come and look upon, that they would be healed of their serpent bite. And I think everybody in here has been healed of their serpent bite. And if you ever been bit by a snake, I've never been bit by one, but I did treat a couple people, came through the hospital a couple times, and there's always residual effects of serpent bites, of a serpent bite. It's not just one and done. There's some effects, especially a poisonous snake, you know. And there are people who may be healed from their serpent bite. They may have received the Holy Ghost. They may have committed to follow the Lord wherever he went. Jesus told them that. Said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Henceforth shall men know that you're my disciples and that you have loved one to another. So these are things that start to negate the will of man that works in our life, because we start to lift up the name of Jesus. If Jesus' name ain't lifted up in your own heart, then what are you doing? Really, ask yourself. And if the name of Jesus isn't being lifted up into the earth today, how can we still have people come? What are they coming for? See, we may have been healed from our serpent bite, but there's still people coming in, and guess what they're needing? Healed from their serpent bite. And if we take down our pole with the brazen serpent on it, and we take down the name of Jesus, and we minimize it, then how can I expect for them to be healed of their serpent bite? Does that make sense? So the people came to that serpent, and they looked at that, and Jesus made this comment, and I got it marked here in my Bible, in John, the 12th chapter, in the 32nd verse. He said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And so we know that Jesus is being lifted up, isn't he? I believe he's doing here. I believe he's lifted up in this assembly. I have to believe that. Otherwise, I start to minimize my faith. If you move back into the Bible a little bit further, let's just go over here to Numbers right fast and just read it. Numbers 21 and 6. Man, I feel like I'm loud. Let's go back up to 5. "And the people spake against God and Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people." I haven't checked this out, but I think that same fiery serpent may be a seraphim. You'd have to get your Greek and see. If it is, then you could actually tie in Isaiah with some of this, Isaiah 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And I'm sorry, it's Ezekiel 6. "And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And so Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And so that's the way we all were. We all had been serpent bit. And when we come to find God, that's what we find. We find that brazen serpent that's sitting up there. It's Jesus, him crucified. He said that, if I be lifted up from the earth. He was talking about, in that instance, he was talking about his physical man that's a type and a shadow that we teach in his body, that his physical man had to be set up above the earth for all to see, and it drew all men unto him. Any man that looks at that to this day, 2,000 years later, there's still pictures of the crucifix. If I was coming back from Oklahoma, from Fort Smith, here a while back, and somewhere around Ozark, I believe it is, maybe a little further south, they got three crosses up on a hillside. They're still holding to that, aren't they? They're still holding to those crosses, and what was on that cross was that serpent. And Jesus was that serpent that was on there, and he drew men unto him. And so every man that comes in today, he comes here filling those songs, lift Jesus' name higher, lift up the name of the Lord. He's a high tower. He's a mighty refuge. In a time of storm and all these troubled things that are blowing against our life, that's what he is, and we keep him held up in that place. There's times, no matter who you are, you're going to go through those adversities of life that cause the winds of adversity that blow against you, that cause you even still to this day to look back to that same cross that you found on the day of your first salvation, even though you've been healed of your snake bite. Otherwise, why does religion have all these altar calls? And why are a lot of them effective? Why is it that I run to the altar at times? And why is it that it's effective? I'm looking for something. And so to keep his name up on high and keep his name lifted up, that's my desire. And so I appreciated those songs today. My mind thinks in a very circular motion. It's just who I am. I'm a mechanic, so I have to think that way. It pays the bills. But sometimes not so well, and as much as other times. And those are the times I get to praying harder. Dear God, you ever have it? You know, and we all encounter problems. It's amazing that God ain't a mechanic, yet he's helped me fix cars. It's amazing that God ain't a gas station, but he's allowed me to go further. It's amazing that he's not really a cook, but yet he still allowed me to find food to eat. He ain't ever built a house, slept under trees, rode into town on a coat the foal of an ass, had nothing to his name, died in a borrowed grave. Yet he gives me a home. Gives me all these things, and all these times, the troubles of life, when they do confront me, the first thing I do is, oh God, help me. It's simply amazing. And yet, he's faithful, isn't he? He's always faithful. If I was as faithful to him as he is to me, I think I would be a lot further down the road. Unfortunately, in the heart of man, the heart is deceitfully wicked. I don't want my serpent to be a striker. You know, the Bible's against strikers, railers, and brawlers. There's people just like to brawl. They like a good old-fashioned fight. Michael's always ribbing me about watching the UFC. He don't watch it. I watch it occasionally. I like boxing matches, too. I don't want to be in one. I sure don't want to get my arm broke. I watch them to learn something, how to avoid getting my arm broke. I run faster. And I avoid, you know, it's amazing that as we develop as Christians, that things that's in us start to change. Whenever we first come to the Lord, we've used this book many, many, many times, is Tim LaHaye's the Characteristics of Man, the Four Temperaments and all this stuff. But did you know that the older you get, your temperament should start to mellow out and blend together more? And as Christ comes into us, the negatives of our bad temperament parts should start to dissipate so that the good side of them come forward. There's nothing wrong with being forward, but it teaches us that to be forward without being prideful about it. There's nothing wrong with being a little bashful and a little shy and a little quiet, but it teaches us not to walk in false humility to be that way. Christ starts to even out all that humanity that lives and works and breathes and breeds itself inside of our heart so that we become a pure Christian and we grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And all that began because one day He beckoned on our heart, every one of us, whether as a mom or a dad. If you're in here, if you're a child in a church and you've never tasted this world, you ought to go to your parent tonight. If you got money, you ought to offer to buy them a meal. I know two boys that got money. They can buy their parents meals. I'm just saying. They both got jobs. Thank God. They're my retirement plan. I want them to get a good education. But I don't want to be a striker. I don't want that serpent to rear up whenever I feel like striking. So many times it's not my serpent that bothers me. It's somebody else's serpent that's bothering me. I pray for your serpent if you'll pray for mine. I promise I won't lay hands on your serpent if you promise not to lay hands on mine. Serving God's a wonderful experience, folks. I wonder why so many times I walk around and we've been visiting churches here lately and see a lot of mule face religion. See a lot of mule faces. A lot of sad countenance. A lot of people make fun of preaching. By the foolishness of preaching, I heard this the other day, by the foolishness of preaching, yes, by the foolishness of preaching, God saved me too. And He saved you. Thank God that a preacher was foolish enough to preach that message one day. I was foolish enough to listen, brave enough to take the challenge and continue on. We go to John, the third chapter, St. John. We're going to tell it just a little bit different way. Probably the most overquoted verse in the Bible is John 3:16. I don't know if I've ever heard, except in maybe a few times, people quote John 3:17, and I have never heard them ever include any of the other ones. But we're going to talk about the other ones briefly. Now, John 3:10 says, and Jesus answered and said unto, well, let's go back, 3:9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He's talking about the wind and the spirit, how man's born of water and so forth and so on. You've got to be born again. Jesus answered and said, aren't thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? We've heard this preached many times. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I wish I would have known that scripture was there one time when I was witnessing to a person. I got sidelined on my own thought. So many times I was talking at a little Bible thing the other night, and he's talking about, they started out talking about bad lip reading, and they ended up talking about what do we look like whenever we're trying to talk to people who aren't Christians. And I said, well, you know, so many times we just try to dazzle people. I want to dazzle you with what I know and make you think I'm really something. Well, I don't want you to follow me. You ain't going to follow me across the street. I've been married to that woman 24 years going on it. Saved it. 23 going on 24. And there's time still yet. I have to convince her to follow me. Now, how am I going to meet Joe Blow right there and convince him to follow me by just trying to dazzle him with brilliance? But if I'll lift up the name of Jesus and what Jesus has done for me more than what I'm doing, I may stand a greater chance of convincing him to come out here where the serpent can be healed once he finds out that he has a serpent. But I try to expose the serpent right there. Try to skin him right there. Cook him up right there. He ain't going to follow me anywhere. So I think this going to visit church thing is good. It's interesting. I'm having a good time doing it. I like doing it in Searcy too. It was very enlightening. And it was very educational. And serving God is an education. Life's an education. I look at people and I wonder why we struggle. Why are you struggling in life? What have you been taught? Why am I struggling? Did I not get the lesson I should have got? Let's move on from that. Let's see here, 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, and Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And of course, here we go with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we have to do it by keeping his name lifted up. When I read your post on Facebook, and I tell you you're going through a distraught day, and you sing those songs that are encouraging you, those songs are encouraging you to do what? Lift up the name of Jesus that's a beat that's abiding in your own heart. I used to, you know, sometimes you have to reach down and grab yourself by the bootstrap, so to speak, and pick yourself up. And that is something that humans have a rare ability to do. I appreciate that ability. It gets me through a lot of sticky situations sometimes. And it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You ever wonder what? You ever seen somebody serpent bit? You ever seen somebody got rattlesnake bit? You know that it swells up? Had a guy come into ER one time, and he had actually gotten bit on his forearm. And he'd done the best thing he could. He tourniqueted it, but he was a long ways out. And his old arm was, it was that big around. And it was so hot, and it was weeping, and we ended up having to split his arm open because it was splitting anyway, put drains in it. He fought to save that member. And anybody would fight to save your arm, would you not? Well, if that's the case, why is it that I like to play with my snake so much? Why is it that I like to... I remember my brother-in-law, he's underneath the house, he does heat and air, and he found this little baby rattlesnake. And he figured he'd catch this rattlesnake and get it out from underneath the house, because I'd rather know that it's outside the house and underneath the crawl space with me in the dark. You're a heat and air man, wouldn't you like to know that? You see one, you want to get him out from underneath the crawl space. Ain't seen one yet. Well, he happened to come across one. I've been underneath a few houses myself. I never seen one either, but he found one about this long. To me, that's a big one. Any snake's a big snake. So he grabbed this snake up, and he wiggled his way outside, and he got this thing right behind the head. He's got his head facing away from him, and he didn't realize that as he was crawling, the snake was kind of inching himself further and further away from his hand. So the head was here, but by the time he got out, it was out here. And he was squeezing it really hard, and he said, and all of a sudden, that snake just turned around inside of its own skin and just turned around and just bit him. Just right there. Of course, it was and I know the baby snakes are supposed to be some of the most venomous, but to show you that God protected him, he got bit, broke skin. Obviously, he either didn't get injected or whatever. God healed him, one or the other. Because his arm never swelled up. It did get a little bit puffy, but you could see he had two snake bite prong holes, whatever you want to call them. What do you call that? He had a snake bite. Puncture wounds. Right there. Sometimes whenever you want to take up somebody's serpent, you want to play with somebody's snake, you might find out that there's a set of fangs in there, and that joker might can turn around on his own skin and get you. And whenever I want to indulge in my own way, I might find out that what's fixing to happen to me, you may get what you want, but you may not want what you're fixing to get. Jesus knew exactly what he was fixing to go through. And I talked here a while back about that he didn't ask mercy for himself, but here he made one comment. We're going to go here to John 12 and 30. Let's go to John 12 and 23. And Jesus answered them. He's always answering them. You notice this? It says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat Is that right? Yeah, a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know that as you start to allow your Adamic nature to die out in you, you can look at your children and you can see that as that kernel of carnality dies in me and Christ starts to grow up in me and it starts to drive that out of me, my children start to become more and more blessed. That is the fruit of my life, is my children. There's a place in the Bible, I can't think where it is, that the children are like arrows in a quiver. Well, I want my arrows to be sharp. I used to do some target practice. I used to shoot a Browning compound bow, and I was never competitive, but I sure liked trying. And I've done lots of stuff like that just for fun. It's still interesting. I'd still like to do it, but it just ain't, you know, it's kind of a young man thing, I guess, because I just don't feel like getting back into it. But I had this Browning compound bow, and I used to do a lot of target practicing. And they make different tips for that arrow. They make broadheads. Then they got those kinds that when they hit, they open up. Then they got just targets, what I call target ends. I don't know what they're really called. Shows you how much I was really into it. Field tips. And then they got like blunts, where they're just squared off on the end with a little metal cap. I've seen those. Actually, maybe that's what happened to mine because I missed. But I like to know that God has filled my quiver full of sharp arrows, which are my children. And they're sharp enough and they've got the intellect to know how to get through this world. And they know where their help lieth. And they know how to find their way back to heaven. They know how to find their way back to that old-fashioned altar. They know how to find their way back to God's people because they know that in the ark, as Brother Painter was preaching here last Sunday, I didn't hear it, but I went back and listened to it, how he was preaching on the ark and the animals. He knows that, my children know that that's where safety is. That's what I know. That's what I've discovered. And so let's move on here. It says, and except that kernel of wheat die, corn of wheat die, says verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. That don't mean that you hate living. That just means that you hate that Adamic nature in you that keeps that part of that life that keeps dragging you out of church. I remember when I first got saved, and because I'm an emotional recluse, you probably don't know that about me, because that part of me is kind of leveled out now. 43 years have done that to me. But when Jody married me, I was up and down. I mean, I was on the mountain one day, and 30 minutes later, I was underneath the mountain trying to tunnel my way out of it. And I always loved her with a big love. And I always, you know, wanted to do the right thing. I always wanted to be a good father, even though we didn't have children. I knew I'd be a good dad. Just had to be a good dad because I married a good woman. My wife saved me, folks, okay? I come from the world, and for the first many, many years, she really helped me, and she done a pretty decent job. Can you imagine what I would have been if I hadn't met her? It's kind of like this story. This is a true story, that there was this lady, their name is Josephine, oh, good Lord, Cooper. Josephine Cooper in the Wilberton, the Cooper family. That's very, 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 very southern. Very, very low income. You get my drift? Very uneducated. They didn't stand much of a chance. They was born on the bottom and they were taught that they should be content to stay there. And so this man, and Josephine wasn't, actually it was her sister, because Josephine was, I remember her now. That's the only one I remember. I ain't going to tell you why I remember that. But her sister decided that she ended up getting through, I think she's the only one that got through school, through high school, and this guy, she was going to go to college, and this guy was a college guy, and he met her. And he seen that this girl could really be somebody. He seen beyond what she was and seen what she could be, much like Jesus does you and I. Aren't you glad he does that? So he took this girl who had nothing, I mean a toe sack lifestyle, potato sack lifestyle, and he took her and he married her and he got her an education and he got her cleaned up and he convinced her that you can be somebody and she became somebody. Now that is a true story. I knew them people. I didn't necessarily know her. I knew her sister. Okay? And they're way older than me anyway. But I've heard that story, how that how that God can take somebody from that lifestyle, and that's much the way I was. I may not have been that far, but that's where God found me, and He took me and He brought me somewhere through my parents. And so I want to continue on that journey so that the legacy of my children can continue on. If you wonder why your parents, when you quit and your parents just keep on going, and you think, I wish they'd just quit because it don't make sense that they keep going, the reason they keep going is because they know that if I can just keep trucking, that God will honor that and He will deal with my family. And that's a good thing. If God don't look at the finished product of you and I would like to know what I look like in God's eye. I'll tell you a dream about this one time. This is a guy I used to go to church with. He had a dream that God would show him what kind of spirit he had. So God showed him really what he looked like to God. Would you be willing to take that litmus test? I would like to know what God sees as the final product of me. But if I just keep up in a humanistic way of just keeping His name lifted up, you see it lifted up on billboards and everywhere else, and there's no spirit in there, there's nothing in me that does that from a spirit, from the Holy Ghost desiring that, then it's just shallow words. It's just motions. And there's another phrase that he said. He said, this people draw near to me. There's the word draw again. Draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. I'm so thankful that I'm in the body of Christ. I'm so thankful that the Lord led me this way and He saved my life and He filled me with the precious Holy Ghost. And when I prayed to Him, I don't know that I would have prayed that if had I been someplace else. I don't know. I just know that from this standpoint, what the scenery looks like. And when I pray to Him, I'm thankful that He brought me this way. I'm thankful for however many years, 5 or 6 years, that my parents found salvation and sanctification in that home, that they deposited something in me and my brother. And God looked down on a poor little kid and said, you know what, I can use you for something. Now, I may be a grindstone to you, and if I am, I'm sorry, but just let it grind away, okay? Because when it's over, it's over. You'll be beyond me, and you'll be on somebody else. Think how much better person you're going to be. And if I'm not a grindstone and you actually get something out of what I'm saying, thank God. I got grindstones too, by the way. My dad used to tell me, he said, I was born on Labor Day and my birthstone's a grindstone. If any man serve me, didn't say if any man let him. If any man serve themselves, if any man serve me, that's Jesus, I got a red letter edition, it says, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Well, I was going to say, when I got married, my life was just up and down because I grew up in an emotional upheaval. And I learned to guard all that and keep all that contained in myself. And so I didn't know how to be happy. You got to learn to love to be happy. That's just part of salvation. I'm happy. I ain't always happy when she cooks everything that she cooks, but I'm happy all the time anyway. I just go ahead and eat it. Sometimes I'll scrape the bottom of the biscuit off and eat the top of it. Bet you every married man had to scrape the bottom of a biscuit off once or twice, I bet you money. If we bet. Maybe not. Brother McGowan might be the only exception. See, there you go. That's why, see, I just felt that in the spirit. That and the fact, and your wife sitting about saying, no, he ain't. I just eat them burnt. That's a good man. See, he got that part of his serpent under control. It's a smart one, too. Brother Crow, you ever eat a burnt biscuit? This one. Let's have a song. We need an altar call. My dad used to tell me, with enough salt and pepper, a man can eat anything. You know, the same thing holds true in the Word of God. Somebody preaching something, God Almighty, that tastes bad. Just put more salt on it, would you? There will be a good song in a minute and be some pepper on it, and you can swallow that thing. You get enough water in it, you can get it washed down. I didn't say nothing bad, did I? God Almighty. 26. If any man serve me, done said that, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And, you know, I've spoken about Jesus not asking mercy for himself, but here's what he said himself. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? I'm fixing to be perplexed. I'm fixing to be in trouble, and my soul's troubled. But what am I supposed to say? He says, Father, save me from this hour. But them two little dots mean something. It says, but for this cause came I unto this hour. He knew that's what was fixing to go on. Let's move on. Glorify, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it. I've glorified your name, Jesus, and I'm going to glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke unto him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, that all these witness ears can hear this and know who I am. Now is the judgment of this world. Is that a semicolon, Jody, or a colon? Colon. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so he did, didn't he? If they ask you to give your life for everybody in the room tonight, would you? And could you do it not out of pride? Could you do it because you just love them? You just want to see them better. You just want to see them made whole. You just want to see the glory of God shine in their heart and see their family restored to wholeness and fullness. Just points to ponder on that one, okay? I don't know if there is an answer for it, but I'm not where I could answer it tonight for me. And so my life, let me get back to that. I keep going there for some reason. My life was like me and Justice on that Arkansas River. Them waves are just beating that old boat and whiz up and down, and there's several times we both left the seat. I had a steering wheel, and he had me. Poor Justice, he was just hanging onto his hat, praying he could get through this. Had his toes gripping the carpet. But as I kept serving God, through the peaks, that's the high point of a wave, through the trough, that's the bottom point of a wave, in your brain, the top point of your brain, where it curves, at the very, not the very crown of it, but those little groove things in it that you see when you look at models, the top of those little crowny places, those ridges, are called gyruses. And the bottom of those, the very bottom of that, which is a trough, is called a sulcus. Ask yourself, are you living up on the gyrus? Are you treading down there in the sulcus? Huh? In other words, are you staying in that low part of your mind? Just like in that ocean, are you content to dwell in that trough all the time? No, sir, we're not. And so I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate what He's doing. Appreciate what He's done. I do appreciate those songs, Sister Lynette. And lifting Jesus' name up higher is what we come here to do, so that the hardships of my road start to get leveled out. I finally find that peace and that contentment. This is supposed to be a place of refuge for the wayward traveler, for the sin-sick soul to find a place where they can be healed. This is supposed to be a city of refuge. And historically, the city of refuge was supposed to have clear-cut roads to it. They were supposed to have smooth roads to it, so that people didn't have to climb over trees. They didn't have to go through creeks. They didn't have to go over tall mountains and off 60-foot bluffs trying to get to this city of refuge, because the manslayer was after them. And that manslayer is the spirit of man that was beaten in our heart. And so if we keep that path straight and we keep it smooth, when people come into the church, they can find that city of refuge. But if we keep a big rock at the front door, they have to try to crawl over that. They can't find And their own life is that way. And so as I keep continuing on to this city of refuge, and my life gets better and better every day, I don't know that I have had a bad day. I'm probably going to have a bad one tomorrow, but I haven't had a bad day yet in a long time. I've had some, I might have got a little frustrated. But we got it all together and we got it done. We're all going to have those. And so if your life is up and down and you can't figure out why, let me tell you what you can do. You can find Jesus. You can lift His name up, as Brother Brandon said there, and as those songs said, and I appreciated the last song too, because He can, because He did. And if He did it because He could, He can do it again. And if He can do it again, guess what? I can be a recipient of that. And if He can do it for you and me, open the doors, folks. He can do it for anybody out there. People with addictions and trouble. And I mean, people got all kinds of troubles. There's refuge. Springer? Springer. Right across the tracks on Springer's, there's three houses. And there's three where they feed homeless people and help poor. Is indigent the right word? Indigent people? It sounds right, but for some reason it kind of feels wrong. But is that right? And those people have all kinds of problems. And I drive by there every morning. Streets are full of these people. A couple hundred of them here and there, trying to get in to find a place to eat. There ain't no sense, folks, in living a life starving to death, spiritually speaking. Not if you're around here. You may just have to quit being a little bit finicky. So I appreciate the Lord. I do. I hope you got something out of that. I appreciate everybody being here tonight. And
God bless you.
Lift Him up.
good to lift him up. And appreciate the good testimonies here tonight. Good message from Brother Breyer. He's talking about eating a burnt biscuit on the bottom. They said you could eat anything if you put enough salt on it, Brother Weininger said, or you put enough sugar on it. But I got a lesson one time, about 8 years old. Remember the days when you had to get up early on a Saturday morning to watch cartoons? And so my mom and dad had trouble getting me up to go to school. But Saturday morning, I was up at 7 o'clock watching the Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner Hour, right? And I'd get in there, and I'd go in there, and I'd pour me a bowl of cereal, and I'd go to eating it. I used to eat Cheerios, but, I pour sugar on the Cheerios. Well, my Cheerios didn't taste right, so I poured more sugar on my Cheerios, and I poured more sugar on my Cheerios, and finally I just couldn't even eat it. But Weininger couldn't put enough on her. I told Mama when she woke up about 10 o'clock. Mom and Dad slip in on Saturday mornings. So there's something wrong with the cereal. Well, I found out what blinky milk was. Milk was trying to eat cereal with sour milk. Brother Weininger, you can't put enough sugar on sour milk. Salt, pepper, sour milk, sugar, and there's nothing you can put on that to make that edible. But I can eat a burnt biscuit. Matter of fact, I started this new nutritional plan lately, and so when I get home, I'm starving. And I usually, a lot of times I beat Cindy home, and if I beat her home, I'm firing up the stove, and I'm getting busy, because I want something to eat, So, but she beat me home tonight by a little bit. I said, and I knew when we left, I seen she's left some meat thawing out, I said, well, hey, when's dinner going to be ready? She says, oh, I'm tired. I just got home, and I couldn't wait, man. I just went in there. I said, I've got you spoiled, Adam. She said, well, I cooked the first 25 years we've been married, and you cooked the next 25 years. Wanted to... welcome, Brother Reverend Ken Robinson. Come in this evening, sitting in it, and we want to welcome you for dropping by and seeing us. We want to take up a prayer request and the offering before we go home tonight. We need to do that. So we get things kind of backwards around here. A lot of times we get up, take prayer requests, and offer them first. Tonight we're doing it last. So, want to pray? Let's pray for Brother Daniel. Said he needs prayer. Said his blood pressure's been up this week. Want to keep praying for Brother Wood. I've got some more sent to my phone. Brother Smith and Brother Randy, they went to Springfield. Sister Pat's having surgery in the morning. He went to be with them. Surgery's a very dangerous surgery. She's got terminal cancer, but she needs a surgery to give her a better quality of life. She could live, they don't know. Like, she could live 6 months. She could live a year. We don't know. But she can't continue living the way she's living. The tumor's pushing up against her. Where she makes her sick. It's pushing up against her other vital, her other organs, and she can't hold anything down. So I want to continue to pray for Sister Elsie. She's still about the same. I need to pray for my Nana. And I got a text from my mom, said to pray for them that may have the farm sold in Missouri. They would love prayer concerning that. What other needs? Brother Durham, yes, of us sitting here right in front of me now. Brother Durham is still sick. Need a prayer for him. Chelsea? Is one that goes right into the heart. And I'm going to tell you something, if that they don't get it repaired, Brother Treadway, they don't get that repaired, and that burst on it, it's over. God, it touch him. Sister Wilson, somebody said, needs our prayer. Still having trouble with, what was her ailment? She had an ailment. A wound that's not healing, that's right. It wasn't even a big wound, was it? Just a small wound, wasn't it? Cut her foot or something. Oh, she did. 18 stitches. Oh, that was a big wound. Okay. You pray for her that would get healed up. Lisa? Well, Jerry York's not feeling good tonight with Crafton? Brother Jim Dodge? Okay, yeah, I've got it. Okay. Okay. Brother Jim Dodge, he's talking about. My Matt. We mentioned him. So Brother. Yes, Helen. Sister Durham mentioned. Just keep praying for her and her testimony. So, let's stand, take these needs before the Lord. Let's receive our Wednesday night offering as well. Officers have come forward. Yeah, Jonathan, we're glad to have you tonight. Glad to have you here. Oh, yeah, we mentioned her. Is anybody listening to me tonight? I'm just playing with you, brother. Also, I want to mention that there will be a men's meeting at Brother Pryor's house. September the 6th. It's a Friday night. At what time? 6 o'clock. All right, listen to ribs. Brother Daniel, you don't have to come. That's all right. We're going to have sweet potato. We're going to have pumpkin pie, too. So, all right, well, let's take these needs before the Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight for calming our troubled waters and being there with us and looking to you as you're lifted up far above us, Lord. We just keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, we have so many needs every day. Keep your hand on Sister Pat and Sister Elsie and Helen, these ladies with cancer. Oh God, we ask you to touch them and heal them, oh God. We also ask you for every need and ailment that was brought up here tonight. Oh God, we ask you to touch Sister Wilson, Lord. And touch Brother Jim Dodge. He has cancer, Lord. This brother down in Dallas has got this aneurysm. And H1, Lord, that we lift it here tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you. announcement. We're going to have a special treat this Sunday. Connor's going to be here. So if you want to see Connor, you'll have to either come to church or come to my house, one or the other. He's coming up this week. Yeah. So, am I supposed to say something, Sister Chelsea? Oh, well, you don't get to see Connor. And then all y'all who don't know, that don't have Facebook, we're going to have another grandbaby, too. So, anyway, let's all stand and praise the Lord one more time before we go home. Thank you, Lord. It's a wonderful service tonight. Chance to be together with your people. Be with us throughout the week as we go forth and lift up your name.